Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
Yeah, Serona. It's a trans woman named Serona.
Serona Transformer.
Yeah.
Seroma changed dick. You can cut that. That was terrible. It would go in the book, though.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm your diversity-focused host, Matthew Olenchuk, joined, as always, by my sad white work husband, Harrison Poole. How are you, babe?
I'm living, laughing, loving, baby.
That's good to hear.
Living the dream.
Living the dream.
Every moment is a waking nightmare.
Just so you guys at home know, every day before we record, I have to go pick him up because he's just sitting in the middle of his room with like that one Blink-182 song. Where are you? And I'm so sorry.
That's not even kind of
he doesn't
on
even
pitch,
sing that part. He doesn't even sing that part, but that's like the voice I
just do.
That's the voice inside of my head. Because he does, hello there, the angel from my nightmare. And he doesn't like sound like that, but compared to the other singer, he's like so nasally.
Yeah, man.
I listened to like one song and it's I Miss You from Blink-182. I'm like, yeah. There's never a big Blink-182 guy.
Nah, I like the self-titled record enough, but yeah. Like I don't care for anything else really. Like it's
they're one of that one album bands for me.
Yeah.
Like Panic at the Disco, which only has one album.
No, Panic at the Disco has five records.
Well, because it has A Fever You Can't Sweat Out.
Yes.
And then Brendan Urie went and did his own thing for four records.
No, you can't even argue Pretty Odd is not a Ryan Ross creation.
I can argue it's not a Panic at the Disco creation.
It absolutely is a Panic at the Disco
creation.
He wasn't
the first one.
Oh! Four members
so
wrote
pure,
songs on that record.
So good, pure emo. And then the Brendan Urie sleeps in, seeps in. Someday I'll sing a song about Tyrannosaurus jazz, whatever the fuck.
Pretty Odd is the Ryan Ross record. Like, it is. It's Ryan Ross's, like if he had control. Because the Young Veins sounds almost exactly like Pretty Odd, just, like, with half the members.
I'm just saying, they peaked at A Fever You Can't Sweat Out, in my opinion.
That is an opinion a lot of people share, not one I agree with, but...
You're allowed to be wrong.
Whatever. You brought the movie this
week.
I
was an aged man when it came out. You were but a tot with your little propeller hat in 2007.
I was like 10 or 11. I was in late elementary, early middle school.
It was the first time we met was way back then. I was moping around the mall.
Oh,
and
yeah?
I heard, B-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-
mall in Lancaster, Ohio.
I was like, what the fuck? And he looked at me and said, someday I'll be a stand-up comedian. And he went, bub, and flew off. I'm like, oh, wow.
Jesus Christ.
Things can't get weirder than this.
So,
hey, look at the news, am I right?
Talk, this is pretty odd, am I right? Anyway.
this week, in honor of Black History Month, I brought Blackula.
That's it?
That's my intro.
That's the whole...
That's the podcast. No, it's a
Thank
Black...
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Tristan Hofstetter.
Hugs and kisses. It's a Blaxploitation vampire film.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I like this movie.
It's really good, isn't it?
I like this movie a lot.
It's my favorite movie to recommend to people, one of them, because I say, you should watch Blackula. It's a really good movie. And people think I'm, like, doing a joke or a jape.
I have had this on my list for years. I just had never gotten around to it. So, like, thank you.
You're welcome. It's, like, legitimately a good vampire movie. Like, all the marketing, everything about it is, like, this is going to be a terrible Blaxploitation film. Like the bad ones that weren't like commentary on things.
Sure.
And no, this is like a good, well-paced commentary.
Yeah, no, this is really, I think that's the thing that shocks me the most is how well-paced this movie is. Like,
so well-paced.
Yeah.
It never drags.
Not even kind of. And it gets slow and doesn't drag.
Yeah.
Like,
it's always moving towards its next
thing.
There's
no wasted moment.
And, you know, surprisingly uncampy gay characters for a 70s film.
Grading on the curve.
Yeah.
They're fine.
That's that's a fantastic representation of a gay man for a movie from 1974. Yeah. No, they're just, you know, they're flamboyant, but they're not like caricatures.
Sure.
They're clearly successful businessmen.
Yes.
Which is more than most people at the time would give them.
They're very John Waters-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie's just very, it's well acted. It's well paced.
And Swanton, Dr. Swanton.
Yeah.
Hudakande's father.
Oh.
Not like actually, but he played him.
No, yeah. Did you know that I think William Crane is the director of this movie was 23?
No.
Yeah.
Knocked out of the fucking park.
Also from Columbus, Ohio.
Hell yeah. Ohio makes the best stuff, dude.
So this movie starts in the 1700s in Transylvania, where
a man who is clearly Dracula, but is like no Dracula we've ever seen. But I forgot, like, when you look at him, you're like, oh, that's supposed to be Dracula.
Yes.
He has none of the language of Dracula, like the visual language or the famous count. That's what I like about this movie, is that although Dracula movies exist, there is a myth, and to some people, the historical fact of the actual vampire Count Dracula.
Yes.
Because it later on in the present day, the gay couple we're talking about goes to like an estate sale at the place, and the guy there is like, oh no, Dracula had a reign of terror before he's killed by Van Helsing. So like the events of the books canonically happen, but there's also like the Dracula movies.
So do you think it's like a Jack the Ripper situation?
I think so. It has to, like Bram Stoker just wrote True Crime instead of reinventing an entire like concept of a monster.
I love that. Holy shit. But it's a dinner party with a African dignitary and his wife named Mamu Walde and his wife Luva, and they're talking to Dracula himself and trying to negotiate the end of the slave trade.
Yeah.
And Dracula is not ending the slave trade.
Very racist, in fact.
Yeah.
And again, this is something I like about the movie, is that as campy as it, like, everything about it screams, like all the marketing, like immediately they set Blackula up to be like this tragic character with actual pathos.
It is silly at points, but they take it so seriously.
From literally the first scene, we've established that Blackula, is a prince from the wealthy part of Africa. So we're already establishing historical fact, which is hard to find in movies about black people, is that Africa had an entire fucking civilization for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
And Dracula does not want to end the slave trade. And so Mamu Walde and Luva decide that they're going to leave.
Well, because he also offers to buy his wife.
Yeah.
And then says it's an honor for someone like me to covet someone of that skin color. The good prince says, you're acting like an animal. And he goes, well, you're from the jungle.
Oh my God. Yes, he does.
He's incredibly racist. The only thing he doesn't say is the N-word.
They try and leave, and Dracula is not going to have that, and so he has his gang of vampire security guards hold Mamu Walde down, and Dracula turns Mamu Walde into a vampire and christens him Blackula.
Yeah, so it's like a slur.
Yes.
He's like, you will carry my name. You will be Blackula.
And locks him away in...
And you know they had to get that out of the way as soon as possible.
Oh, 1,000%.
As soon as possible. They're like, it's either that Dracula calls him Blackula or the news calls him Blackula. We have to choose a lane.
Dracula seals him away in a coffin to hunger for human flesh forever.
And seals him in with his wife, who will die.
Yes.
She's not a vampire.
Yeah, she's waiting by his side. Like just like over the coffin.
Yeah.
And then we cut to present day.
Yeah.
Or like, well, the 70s.
The rotten 70s. Right. Immediately music starts playing.
And it's an estate sale. Or is it it's a property sale. Like they're buying the castle.
Yeah, I'm not
castle,
sure if it's like
right?
technically an estate sale. No, they're buying everything in the castle.
They're buying everything in. Okay.
Because they're antiques dealers.
So they're buying everything in the castle. And it's these two It's a gay couple. One black, one white. That does become important later.
It's really progressive. It's an interracial gay couple, and like you don't know they're gay till like the sixth time one of them says something. You know, like a lot of movies at this time, immediately they'd be like, "These guys are fucking," and it's like, no, they're just two gay guys who are in a relationship that run a business together.
Sure.
And it's like I think like three. I don't know, I watch it double speed, but there's like, you know, it's a bit in the mood into the scene before one of them refers to the other as like honey or babe or something.
Sure. You pick up they're gay almost immediately. Not yeah. that they're together.
Yeah.
And they buy everything in the castle. The estate dealer is telling them the story of Dracula.
The historical facts of Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yes. And the couple think that Dracula is just like the queen of camp.
Yeah, or like a
I forget myth. The exact phrasing.
Yeah, they call him it says the queen of camp, I'm pretty sure. They're also like, that's just from the movies because it's a myth.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, dude, the events of Bram Stoker's true crime book Dracula actually happened.
And they find the secret room.
There's a historical Renfield out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's nuts to think about the implications of a world where Dracula is real, but the book and movies also exist at the same time.
So the couple find the hidden room.
Well, they get shown it because he goes, ooh, are there any hidden rooms in here? And he's like, actually, yeah, there's a bunch.
Sure.
Which has been cleaned out because there's no dead woman body in there.
How long does it take a body to fully decompose? I know bones take forever, but yeah. like the body itself.
There's no skeleton. Well, because someone found the room.
Sure.
Because they were redoing the entire house. Yes. So I imagine they found the skeleton and went, ugh.
They find Blackula's coffin, and they unlock it and they set him free.
I'm glad you called it Blackula's coffin, because a lot of times people just call that Blackula, but in the text it is Blackula's coffin. Thank you. I was worried that was gonna land. I was like, oh man, this joke is so fucking stupid.
So they open his coffin and Blackula.
No, they don't.
Oh, he opens it. No, they unlock and he opens the coffin.
They go back to because they go back to Los Angeles because he's like, yeah, we'll take it. He's like, this is great. Because also they say that they're glad that he's saying Dracula's real, because everyone's gonna buy the zip if they say it's Dracula's stuff. And they're going through all the stuff they bought. And the one guy, he's like, open up that coffin because we're gonna turn to like a table for our living room.
Or was it the guest bed?
Oh, it might have been the guest bed.
To a guest bed.
And so he's opening it up, but then the guy cuts himself, so he goes to take care of him, and then that's when Blackula wakes up.
Yes, because he's trying to do a tourniquet. The other man is trying to do a tourniquet for the
I think
dude.
He's just trying to wrap his arm.
Sure.
You do a tourniquet higher up.
Fair enough. But Blackula gets out of his coffin and he sucks the blood out of the gay couple.
I was about to be like, what the
He eats him
that's
up.
That's an interesting word. Famously, you must beware the eating of the vampire.
Yeah. I couldn't remember the word bite, and all I could think of was eat. And then I'm like, wait, just do the technical. He sucks their blood. He kills them. Now he's free. He's
free in LA in 1970s. A kicking scene, to be sure.
And then we're introduced to the then it's the nightclub, or is there something in between?
It's the morgue, the funeral home.
Yes, because that's how we're introduced to it's a black funeral home, and one of the dead body, he moves his hand.
Yeah, because Blackula's lurking.
Yes. And we're introduced to
Tina.
I forget the sister's name. Michelle. Yes. And then Gordon. Gordon.
I forgot his first name because I just think of him as Dr. Swan. Very few people. I don't think anyone says. Did they say Gordon a lot in this movie?
I guess Michelle and Tina call him Gordon.
Yeah, I guess it's because he spends a lot of time around people that would use his job title.
Yeah.
Dr. Swan.
We're introduced to the trio.
Because they knew him.
Yes.
And I suppose that Dr. Swan did it too, but he's mostly there to do his job.
Yes. And it's mentioned that even though they were a couple, a different funeral home handled the white man.
Yeah.
And the moving of the hand, he chalks up to a reflex.
Well, because like there's two things I love about this scene. It's house. She comes and says, "What the fuck's up with his hand?" Which is a great reaction to have to that.
Yes.
And he doesn't even chalk it up to it. He's like, "Oh, it must be a reflex." He says, "It's a reflex. It happens sometimes."
Yeah.
Which implies either this man has no idea what he's doing, or in this world, regularly, the body will move its arm around after death, which I don't think is a thing, because rigor mortis is a thing.
That late, correct.
Yeah.
Immediately after death, you do have the jerks because the nerves are dying.
Because you're shitting yourself.
Because the nerves are dying.
And as it's all coming out, like one of those little car dealership things.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly
the pressure change.
Uh-huh.
My mom's a nurse, I know a thing or two.
Okay.
He's like, "Oh, it's a reflex." And it's like, what a wild thing to say.
Oh.
And they do point out that he's not embalmed yet because of the family's wishes.
The trio's at a nightclub now, and that's where we're in.
Well, also because in that scene, he's examining the body.
Yes.
After they
and
leave.
And they peel back the bite mark.
He's looking at the bite mark, and the guy's like, I think a rat did it. He's like, "How far apart were the bite? How big was the bite?" He's like, 2 inches. And the guy's like, "A 2-inch rat?" And then he's like, "Oh, all the blood's been drained."
Yes.
Because the veins are down. He goes, "I'm Dr. Swan."
I just think he should end every sentence with, I'm Dr. Swan.
Dr. Swan. I'm the only man who knows what's going on for most of this movie.
And then, yeah, Gordon leaves and the funeral director's like, "That's the most rude person I've ever seen in my life." Meanwhile, Blackula's just been lurking the entire time.
Well,
and
because
he sees Tina, who looks just like his wife.
It's the same actress.
Yeah.
Younger, though. Did a good job of making her look older in the...
Yes.
I was like, oh, God, yeah. Really good aging makeup on her.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not to say that film prosthetics didn't exist in the 70s.
Well, the makeup isn't, like, fantastic in this movie. I think I'm probably by choice and budget constraints. But sure. It's really campy for a lot of it. But
yeah.
They did her makeup
it's
first.
Just, yeah. It's
and they're like, "Oh, we used all the budget."
It's just good enough to apply suspension of disbelief.
And then she's wearing... Yeah, because she takes off this hood. Because she's wearing this... I don't know what to call it. But I'm really fucking with whatever she's wearing.
Yeah. The, like...
cape hoodie?
Yeah, I was going to say... It's turtleneck, but it's, like, down and wide across the shoulder. Like,
and it becomes a hood. And it looks cool as shit. I have no idea what it's called.
And they're all hanging at the nightclub. That's where he sees her, and then she leaves the nightclub, and she scares her on the way home.
No, it's I think because she says she's gonna go home first, and that because she's like, I'm gonna go home, and then when she's walking home, that's when he like jumps out and says like Luva, and then she runs off away from him.
The nightclub later than I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, how many? There's the I didn't mean to frighten you.
Because we go to the cop. We're at the cop station before the nightclub. Because he says he's taking her to the nightclub for her birthday.
I know the picture taking is later.
We were at the police station before at the next nightclub or the first nightclub.
Interesting. Sorry. Yeah. But Tina is on her way home, and Blackula is just like, "Yo, you're my wife." Like,
he has Luva.
Yeah, very.
Lays he's all Rocky his, or something.
Lays all his cards on the table.
He says, "Luva," and she goes, "Get away from me," and then she runs off, and there's the chase scene, and then she drops her purse, and then she goes home, and then Michelle comes over, and she's like, I lost my purse, and this man was chasing me.
And yeah, she ends up like trying to change the locks, and she gets like really paranoid. The wrong term because it's justified, but like, what's just scared? Is that the
scared is the emotion you're looking for?
is scared just justified paranoia? Is fear just justified paranoia?
No, you can be paranoid without being fearful. You can have an angry paranoia. I'd say fear is justified anxiety.
Okay.
But.
And then it's the, he's at the police station asking for the, not death certificate, but like the report, the police reports on the gay couple.
Which are lost because they're gay.
And one of them is black.
Yeah. I do like the friendship between, Watson, right?
Yes.
Watson and Dr. Swanton. Because at first, they come off as pretty adversarial. But then as the movie progresses, you realize that they're just two very strong personalities. And they actually seem to be quite close to each other to the point that later in the movie, when he goes to his house to show him a Dracula, a Blackula, not Blackula, proper noun, but a Blackula. He says, like, I forget the wife's name, let's say Tiffany, but he's like, sorry, Tiffany. She's like, I'm used to it. And then Michelle's like, can I stay? And she's like, yeah, come in. So, like, they're close that, like, he knows they know each other's significant others.
Yeah.
They probably go, like, bowling together.
They have had many a late night eating Chinese, solving cases together.
Which I like, because it starts off with the kind of, like, typical, like, listen, you gotta do this, I'm the chief. But then it doesn't subvert it so much as just that they're both people who yell a lot.
It develops it. It develops the relationship.
Yeah, they both just yell a lot.
Yeah.
It's not adversarial at all. You just, by like the third scene, you're like, oh, they're both just like cops in Los Angeles. So they're just under a lot of pressure in the 70s.
Yeah. But yeah, Mama Walde stops by to give Tina back her purse and was just like, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to frighten you. You look so much like my dead wife.
Yeah.
Which is
a non-frightening thing to tell a woman.
The smoothest pickup line.
It never frightens a woman. It's how I have all the sex I have. I go up to women at bars and I say, you look like my dead wife.
Yeah.
And they say, I'm instantly feel like you're someone I can trust and that I'm safe around. I'm actually throwing out my pepper spray right now because I've never felt more safe in my life. And having a man I've never met before come up to me and say, you look like my dead wife.
How many times do you think that has worked ever?
Never.
Never?
Never.
There has to be one crazy person.
It had, like, if it works, the other person's is just as dangerous.
Okay, then they deserve each other.
Like we hear, but that's like the crimes we hear about when, like, the woman kills the husband on the rare occasion.
Yeah.
It's because he used that line on her and she accepted it.
Right.
That's the club be kicking.
I do.
Do you see the white girl, like, tweaking in the background?
Yes.
That's my favorite part. Because there's, like, it opens up and there's just, like, this little band playing. You got, like, your, what type of music? Funk?
Funk, big band kind of
thing. Yeah, you know, like the 70s, like your, like, Earth, Wind, and Fire-esque band, like that really nice music. And so you got the singers and the dancers in the front. You got the white guy that looks kind of like fucking, what's his name? Mila Kunis's husband.
Ashton Kutcher.
Like, he looks like Ashton Kutcher playing that director in that one movie about the Iranians. Which I guess makes... he looks like Ashton Kutcher in the 70s.
Yeah.
And in the background, there's this white girl who's, like, dancing. She's an extra, but she's just kind of like... It's like, yo, she's on. She's tweaking, dude.
But he gives her the purse and is like, you look like my dead wife. And immediately she trusts him.
He says it later. He sits down when he says that. Because she's like, here's your purse. Like, come join me for my sister's birthday party.
Yeah.
And they sit down. And then he's like, you look like my dead wife. And everyone goes, oh, cool.
So he sits down. Gordon is, like, immediately suspicious of the dude, as you should
as
be.
As anyone should
as
be.
As any rational human being should be.
Because he's dressed like a vampire, which, like, you're not going to assume he's a vampire. But if my friend's like, hey, this is the guy who I thought was chasing me, and he's dressed like a vampire, I'm like, this man is dangerous. He was chasing you at night, and he's dressed like a fucking vampire.
And Michelle thinks it's kind of... also, like, cute, I guess, but not cute, but, like,
Gordon's, like, the only one who has a rational reaction, which is giving him a very strange look.
Yeah, and then this is the one where the lady's taking pictures.
Yeah. It's a friend who's a waitress.
Yes. Michelle's friend is taking pictures of her birthday gathering. When Tina and Mama Walde are leaving, they have, like, this nice moment. Immediately, she's under his spell. She looked in his eyes, and he just immediately went, like, you are my dead wife. Like,
maybe she is.
Maybe. She's reborn.
I've watched Bram Stoker's Dracula. Sorry. Yeah, Francis Ford Coppola is Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
No.
I need to make sure it's on the list. It's my favorite. Look, I love vampire movies. Blackula is very high up there.
Yeah.
Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula might be my favorite because it's so moody.
Nice.
And it's so utterly bonkers.
Have you seen John Carpenter's Vampires?
No.
Okay, I'll add that to the list.
I did take a class on vampires in college.
We should do later, obviously. We have plans for a little while. We should do a vampire month.
Maybe.
Not this Halloween, next Halloween, maybe?
Maybe. I have a huge list, and we keep doing theme months, and I'm like, I can't fit these in. Where am I going to fit the Bionicle movies in?
How many Bionicle movies do you have on the list?
All of them, so three. I think there's only three.
Oh, there's only three.
There might be four. There's like one for each major story arc.
But the lady takes a picture.
I don't appreciate that sigh.
Of the two of them together.
You're gonna after we're done watching those, you're gonna say I'm cuckoo for Bionicle, dude.
Okay.
You're gonna be like, Neve, put on the mask.
She also likes Bionicle. No, not you think I'm gonna turn it into a weird kink thing? No. Yeah,
I think you're gonna wanna fuck Bionicle. And since she likes Bionicle, she'll be like, oh, okay.
The picture gets taken, and later on
immediately he's like, nah.
Yeah. And she's developing the photos at her in her dark room, and she notices that Mama Walde is not in the photo, and she's terrified, obviously.
She's like, what the fuck?
That's how you react. And then
he gets her.
Yeah, he sucks her blood and turns her into a vampire.
But
we don't know that she's a vampire. Yet because the police get called and show up to her house, and she acts like a defenseless victim who just got hurt, and then uses it to like trap
the guy's
him.
Like, what's up? And this is the guy who just got the files too.
Yes.
And then he gets bit, which leads to the next scene when it's like, how are the files? I didn't get the files. Yeah, you did. Yeah, sure I did.
Also, this is the halfway point of the movie.
Yeah.
Like,
this movie's so well paced.
Dude, I love it.
It might be the most well paced movie we've seen so far.
We're not at, he hasn't figured out that he's a vampire yet. He has suspicions of something, right?
Because
he goes to the police station.
Because the cab driver gets hit.
Yeah,
we forgot the cab driver. Yes, so he loses her, and the cab driver hits him, and she's yelling at him, and he's fine because he's a vampire, and then she kills him.
Or yeah, he kills her.
Yeah, he kills her, and that's why he asked for the reports, because it's the same bite marks and stuff, and the same loss of blood. And the Watson's like, I think these are, I need these. Like, why? You think something's happening? He's like, I can't tell you yet. So I don't like being in the dark here. He's like, just do it. Give me a permit to dig up a body.
Yes. And Mama Walde and Tina are like bonding very quickly.
And she's like, I'll meet. He's like, oh, let's meet at the club tomorrow night. He's like, actually, I'm at your home. And she's like, actually, I am your dead wife.
And he's like, this is too dangerous. I can't, like, I have to go.
He's like, because he's like, I won't force you to love me.
I can't love you.
Then he goes to leave. She's like, actually, I can't, don't leave.
And then they have
a kiss.
Yeah, they have a kiss, and he's healed. He's not a vampire anymore. Didn't you know vampirism can be cured by true love's kiss?
Most things can.
Godzilla monsters, trauma from the war,
most vampirisms, most issues you'll have can fix you,
but she can't fix him. That was the point, is that he destroyed her.
I'm not sure. Maybe vampirism doesn't need to be cured. We don't need like a vampire speaks who's trying to cure vampirism.
Oh, no. Why? That's a good joke. Thank but you. Why? Sorry, I needed to give you your props.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's essentially figuring out, he's doesn't want to admit that it's a vampire, but is like slowly coming to admit that it's probably a vampire.
He's at the point where he's like, it's probably a vampire, but I need to be able to like prove it. So I need to dig up this. So they get a bunch of books and vampires, one called Dead Things
and the dead ones.
And he's like, I need permission to dig up this body.
Yes.
And he's like, I can't
and
do
he
that.
Doesn't get
he's
it.
He's like, do it. He's like, okay. He's like, got it. And then that's what they're arguing. Like, fuck it. And he's like, all right, honey, we're gonna go dig up a body.
It's the middle of the night, and they dig up the one of the couple,
the gay, white one.
Yeah, sure. Sorry.
Because he got a nice funeral pairing.
Yeah,
he's already been processed and taken care of.
It's the white man and the gay couple, and he rises.
Because have they lost the other guy's body at this point?
Yes,
because they're like, the body's gone. He's like, what do you mean it's fucking gone?
Yes.
Yeah, because he wanted an autopsy and
and
body.
The body's gone.
So he's like, I'll dig up the other one.
And he's a vampire, and he drives a stake through the heart.
He opens up, he immediately goes, and he goes, ah! And then he goes like, bam, bam, bam.
And his wife is like, he was alive and you killed him. And Gordon's like, he wasn't
he's
alive.
Like, no, babe. He was a vampire.
Little kiss on the forehead.
He has a lot of kissing in this movie. To either get what he wants or calms her down.
So in many ways, he fixes her.
That's why it's a fictional movie. Women are perfect. He can't fix them. There's no such thing as a woman with issues.
So He's killed the vampire.
Yeah, because he's like, you need to tell Watson. He's like, he'll never believe me.
So he needs to show him.
I need to show him a Blackula. And so they like almost crash into a phone booth. Not on purpose, but I was like, God, that car's like almost crashed into the phone booth. They just left that in. And he's like, Morgue Guy.
And he calls.
Comedic relief character, Morgue Guy.
Where it's like, take out this body and walk away and lock the door.
Yeah, the cab driver.
Yeah, and so they go to the morgue and she's thawing and is like officially thawed.
And he keeps getting like a lot of phone calls.
Yes.
Because he forgets, he doesn't get to lock the door because he keeps answering the phone. I don't know why the morgue is getting this many phone calls at night.
I mean, it's Los Angeles in the 70s.
Yeah, that's true.
The police probably call him a lot.
It's probably just like, we got another one. Yeah, we got another one. But then she wakes up and she's like, man!
And then he drives, he uses the cross to corner her.
Well, because that's when he goes to the guy's house. He's like, it's my only weeknight off in like months. It better be worth it. And that's when he's like, sorry, she got me used to it. And Michelle's like, can I stay? And she's like, yeah, of course, come in, honey. So it's implied that they have the four of them have a close,
yes,
out of work friendship.
But at the morgue, the cab driver wakes up and Gordon uses the cross to corner her into the window while the sun rises, and the sun burns her alive, obviously. Burns her unalive.
Because again, they're like, where is the guy? He's like, oh, there's blood everywhere. He's like, fuck. And he goes to the morgue. That's when he takes off. It's the good jump scare where he takes off the Watson takes off the thing and he gets up and he does it. She doesn't burn alive. Watch it again. She goes, and then just falls over.
Sure, but I think it was supposed to like...
Later on, we see a vampire get burned alive by the sun.
Yes, we did, at the very end. But I think... Well, he went directly into the sun.
Yeah.
While she just saw
personally,
the sun.
I really liked it. I think that'd be a very fun take on vampires.
Yes.
Is if a vampire goes in the sun, they don't burn. They just go, oh, God! And like die. And boy, just fall over dead.
They go to the nightclub again, and Gordon is interrogating Ramu Wande. Like, are you into the occult?
Yeah, because they both show up again. It's very much the coy, like, do you like the occult? Oh, maybe. What do you think about vampires? Well, they could exist, but they'd be the coolest thing ever. You know, the police think that they're murdering people. That seems a bit silly.
Has Gordon realized he's found the negative photo of Mambo Wande not there?
That's
yet?
That's after or they after? Leave, because he's like, we should get the photos. So I guess she doesn't show up for work. And then Skilled's like, I want to fuck her. Let her know I want to fuck her. And that's when he goes to his house and finds the negatives. And it's like, oh, fuck. He's the Blackula. Which is only ever said by Dracula, by the way.
Yeah, I noticed that. It's said twice. Once in by Dracula and once in voiceover by Dracula.
Blackula it doesn't catch on. His new fun slur doesn't catch on in this movie. Everyone just refers to him either by his given biblical name or by the vampire.
Yeah, it's at this point Tina is essentially Lufa. Like, I know that she's not, but like, she's like adopted the entire persona.
Yeah,
she
gets knocked out of it a bit once he's like, he's killed somebody. Also, they're like, we need to put an APB on these people, and they're like, dead people? And it's like, yep. He's like, this is a whole mass hysteria, and everyone's gonna think we're crazy. It's the only thing we can do, though.
What happens next?
They find the
they're like trying to track him down, but they find the
non-killed gay vampire.
The warehouse. They're going to the warehouse.
They're like, oh, we lost him in an alley. He's like, name all the places. And so there's a guy listing up every building in the block area. And he's like, that's where it all started.
And yes. And then it's the gay the black gay vampire. And then when he's killed, like, it's the swarm.
Because he comes up and the Watson is totally useless in the situation.
Yes.
But then, like, Dr. Gordon does, like, some martial arts on him and stakes him. And then, like, a bunch of Draculas and Blackulas.
And they throw the lamps.
Yeah. Which is many fire. Draculas is referenced earlier. Because when they're talking about the threat this vampire poses.
That it was one, then two, then four, then eight. Yeah. Then, yeah.
And he says it with such confidence. He's like, the thing with vampires is it's exponential.
So they're tracking him down in the warehouse, but first they got to go through all the other vampires.
Because he's not there.
Right. They eventually find him in another room, and he's like, were you looking for me? I moved my coffin.
I think it's when they're leaving. He's waiting for them. He's like, ha.
Yeah, and then he turns into the bat.
He's like,
and gets
I moved
away.
My coffin, and there's nothing you can do to stop me. Bat! And he turns into a bat.
he's standing on the building.
Well, because they're like, we have to lure him in using Tina.
Using, yeah. Gordon and Michelle are... Tina's essentially full black-pilled.
Yeah.
Blackula-pilled.
I think black-pilled someone else.
is full... Yeah. Blackula-pilled. And they're like, he has killed people. This man is a monster.
And is responsible for the death of many other people, those they have killed.
Yes.
And she goes, okay.
She very softly agrees.
But then he uses his Dracula chimes. Oh, because you hear like a ting, 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 ting. And she's like, where?
Oh, yeah.
And then he turns into a bat. And some woman yells, oh, fuck, a giant bat. And then they're like, that's him. And they go like, oh, Tina's gone.
Yeah, he's on the top of the building. He turns into the bat and flies.
And she's walking off. And they're like, follow her.
Yes.
But don't like stop her. And they get to, his new lair must be this chemical plant, which he's chosen for some reason.
Yeah, is there an explained reason other than it just looked cool?
I think it was just a cool set, so they put it there.
Yeah.
Because he went from a place that is no longer actively used, because both people are dead, to, there's a night guard on shift.
Yeah. The police...
All the police.
Not SWAT team, but like SWAT team.
Like 10 police cars show up. Our heroes show up. There's a really good shot I like where they all get out of the car, but the camera stays in the car.
Yes. Tina and Mama Wande are running for safety, and the one cop finds them and shoots.
All the cops are in there, and they're running. They're like, don't engage.
Right. And then the one cop shoots Tina in the back and dies.
As a cop is wont to do.
Yeah, exactly. Shoot,
I laugh.
Shoot the black person in the back.
Yeah, he's like, God, the Dracula's got the black person. Shoots the black person.
And then, Blackula murks that dude.
Had to do it on purpose.
Almost certain.
There's no way.
That he wasn't told that bullets don't affect the vampires?
No, there's no way that you miss it that range. He wasn't that far away.
Yeah, unless he was just like wildly aiming between the two of them.
He does the stance and the two hands on the gun and fires and hits her.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I brought our normal bullets, which look for black people, not the special bullets we're supposed to use, which hit vampires.
Right. And
because cops have three types of bullets. Vampire bullets, dog bullets, and black people bullets. Yeah. Little fun fact.
And then Mama Wande turns Tina into a vampire, like, we will be together forever.
And then declares vengeance. Yells. He's like, Dr. Gordon, this place will be your tomb.
Your tomb. He says it like four times.
And then it's not an echo. You think it's an echo, but he goes, "Your tomb! Your tomb! Your tomb!" And then we have like a little scene of him just killing people. Because like, oh God, what's going on? And this guy gets electrocuted. My favorite one is the guy who's running and he Donkey Kongs a barrel at his head and he falls down and he starts to get back up. So he Donkey Kongs another barrel at him.
And then they think they found him in the coffin because it's the daytime now.
Yeah.
And so he needs to sleep. They think they found him in the coffin and they open and it's Luva at this point. Like, I know it's Tina.
It's Tina.
But like...
He calls her Tina.
Oh, he does. At this point, it's Tina.
Because they immediately spear him with a broken broomstick. Because that's, as soon as you open, you spear the vampire.
Yeah.
And then it's a teen, and Michelle's like, no, no.
And he's just broken at this point. It's like, well, I have nothing.
I have nothing left to live for.
And so he just walks into the sun and drops and decomposes. Like, the cops come, they see him,
and
he's decomposing. Yeah. And he's decomposing, he's burnt alive, and credits roll. That is Blackula.
Do you think Skillet gets the cape? Because he always wanted that cape.
Yeah. Oh,
do you think
that?
Dr. Gordon takes the cape for Skillet.
I think Skillet buys the cape off him. Yeah.
Police auction.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, this is, I like how he's a tragic character. Brought to his circumstances the first time by racism and brought to his final end by the cop's inability to shoot a black person.
So racism.
Racism, yeah.
I feel like it's a theme in a lot of blaxploitation. Racism.
The good ones.
Yeah. This has been on my list for years. So many people, like filmmakers, have mentioned, like talked about this movie. And so I knew going in kind of to expect like better than you think it's going to be. Not that I thought it was going to be bad, but I thought it was going to be, for lack of a better phrase, sillier. But it takes itself just seriously enough that you take it seriously.
It's just a vampire movie.
Yeah.
You got your Van Helsing character. You got, the women that are in vampire movies usually.
But yeah, is I'm excited to watch the sequel. It's right now streaming on Tubi.
There's no way it's as good.
I don't know. Maybe.
The reason this movie's so good is because it's just a concise storyline about the great tragedy that's befallen this character.
Fair.
If he comes back, you start to lose a bit of that tragedy and starts going into like the, this is my fifth Dracula movie. I'm Peter Cushing.
Sure. There's only two that I'm aware of.
Well, I'm saying like the, how like eventually if you just keep bringing back the monster, it's like, it's Dracula again.
The fact that a 23-year-old made this movie is way too mature. Like, not too mature, but you know what I mean? Like, way more mature than you think a 23-year-old would make. In the way that, like, Jaws is a much more mature movie than you think the 25, 26-year-old Spielberg would make.
Yeah, no, it's a mature movie with heavy themes, and it deals with things very well.
Yeah, it handles everything with as much grace as the genre allows. And that's not to say that this is like a stuffy, like, take me seriously, but like a very, like,
it's a vamp. It's a, you know, it's in the era of like the traditional Universal horror movies, which like they take themselves seriously. It's not like there's no winking coy nod or a smirk. There's a man named Blackula. He's killing people. He's a threat. It's a tragedy.
Honestly, couldn't have said it better myself. Is that your final thoughts?
Wish they gave Skillet more time.
In theory, I agree with you. I think in practice, he would overwear his welcome.
If this was a longer movie, I'd make Skillet the Renfield.
Okay.
He'd lure him in with his promised cape.
Sure. Yeah, watch this movie. Do you want to do socials?
Yeah. You can write to us at twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. Personally, I'm looking for various X-Reader fanfics, so if you have any good ones, perhaps an X-Reader fanfic with one of us, Reader X Harrison or Reader X Matthew, send it in. Or if you just want to talk, movie suggestions, your thoughts. You could probably just email me anything, I'd respond. So, you know, I'm wild with it. You can find us on Instagram at Two Men Movie Podcast, where you can see our reels and photos of movies. It's a good way to figure out when episode's released. We're on YouTube as well. Two Men and a Movie Podcast. That's the only one where it's different. It's a YouTube version of it. And anywhere else, just, you know, look up Two Men Movie Podcast. We're probably there, and I'm probably not updating it. So, you know, have fun with that.
Yeah, I'm the one currently updating the Instagram. I'm not making any promises, but I do like the idea of trying to get like a behind the scenes something, like set, like taking pictures of some of the equipment, or like taking like pictures of us recording. Like, I think
the second one, when you first said that, I imagined you posting just a picture, and it's like, the caption's like, hard at work, but written in the way like a 40-year-old dad would. And it's just like a too close picture of like a microphone.
We have a
Zoom and two microphones. Time to show all the equipment. This is our two microphones or our one headset.
No, but I think it would, I don't know, I would love to see how podcasts get recorded on like a technical level. That's something I would be interested in seeing.
Yeah, you're a tech nerd. It's why I make you do all my stuff.
And maybe other tech nerds would find us. You know
what an f-stop is.
Anyway, where can they find you?
They can find me at Midwest_magician, where I share little plastic men on my own personal adventures. I'm trying to get more stories up there. If you like anteaters, that's the place to go. I'm a big fan of anteaters, so I share a lot of them.
You can find me on Instagram and TikTok. Maybe Lemonade. I'm debating on posting the reels there because I made one. At harrisonpool.com. That's POOLEDOTCOM, harrisonpool.com. Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for our theme song. Thank you guys for listening. Hell yeah, go watch this movie.
Happy Black History Month. Hugs and kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.